Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Fast Track coming up for you in a minute, but first, joining us from her luxurious backyard is Momo Shelburne, who just did a live shot on ESPN.
What if I told you
from your backyard?
Ramona, you look good, and your backyard look very good. Highfalutin gardener running that thing? What's going on?
You know, the people who we bought the house from, I think that they owned like apartment buildings and stuff, and what they kind of just get all the people who do like the landscaping for apartment buildings. They did this backyard, so it looks kind of like, you know, a lot of the hedges, and it's a lot of the same trees that you would see in the backyard. But that was a big selling point, you know. And that was one of the more interesting live shots I've ever done, because the power went out at my house like 15 minutes before I was supposed to go live. I said, we got two options. I could do this from my TVU app in a dark room, or I can go to my backyard on FaceTime. What do you think?
You made a good choice. It was good.
Yeah, look
at
that.
It was good.
Now, we've been reading.
My arm is killing me because I was holding my hand up the whole time, but, you know.
Okay, Ramona, we've been reading a lot of parts of your story.
Okay.
And it seems like your story is consistent with what you've been telling us on the radio for the past week or so, that your sense is players aren't crazy about the bubble idea.
Correct.
But Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, is reporting a whole bunch of things that Adam Silver said on this call.
Yeah.
And it appears Silver has not given up on the bubble. What's the latest on the bubble?
So this is the best way to think about it. Okay. In order for a bubble to actually work, the bubble needs to be impenetrable, right? Like you have to think of the bubble as actual bubble wrap, right? Like
right.
Nobody gets in or out. Okay. So that's all the players, coaches, trainers, EMTs, staffers, and even the people who would be working at like the hotel that, you know, theoretically this would be, right? Like this is straight up Big Brother style. Okay. But in order to ensure that nobody gets in or out, that it's really safe, you would have to have some level of surveillance. And the issue of surveillance is basically a non-starter for players, which is like, look, you know, I think that you could have cameras. I think you could have some level of like, you know, we're monitoring things, but nobody wants to have armed guards outside a hotel. Nobody wants to be wearing ankle bracelets or have somebody tracking their cell phones. Okay. That's one issue. The other issue is the isolation that would entail from like their families, their friends, their lives. And so you have to think about it like this. If surveillance is basically a non-starter, if you have real privacy and personal liberty issues with strict surveillance, then you go to the honor system. And the honor system has issues, which is nobody trusts each other, right? Like, no, I've had one player said to me, like, you know, I don't even think my teammate washes his hands after he goes to the bathroom. Like, I don't trust them to not bring people in and out. I mean, we've seen a lot of stories of players meeting up with girlfriends or friends or, you know,
parties. That never happens.
Yeah, right? So if on the one extreme is like a police state and the other extreme is like honor system, then the point of the bubble is kind of moot, right? Because it's not really keeping you in bubble wrap. It's not really keeping you safe. And so players are basically like, let's not do that. Like you either have a semi-bubble, which is like the Disney World thing. Disney World could act as something like a bubble where you would mitigate some of the social isolation. Like you could have family there. You could have some friends there. But it would have to be a small group. But it wouldn't be as serious. And you would have some level of like control of interactions and number of people that you're with. But any return to basketball is going to be based on three things. Increased testing. And I don't mean just like everybody gets one test. I mean everybody gets tested probably every day or two. Okay. And it can't just be a test that takes 3 days or 4 hours. You need those rapid tests that give you a result in 15 minutes before you even get into the building. That's going to take somewhere, that's like 20,000 tests. And it's really hard to justify NBA players taking up that many tests when, you know, that it's needed around our world now. It's still needed for first responders. It's still needed for other people. And the one thing I think that people are missing, and I tweeted this out because Woj reported it this morning, and I said, whoa, that is a big deal, is that several markets have worked with local officials, Los Angeles being one of them, that players and staff who return once facilities start to open up are going to be tested, are allowed to be tested, because they have been assured by local officials that they're not taking tests away from people who need them. And that, to me, is the first positive sign that I have really seen in basketball or any sport coming back, which is if you can say, we're going to test you and test you all the time, that's really the safest way. And in that case, you don't really need to do a bubble.
So I guess then the question is, how quickly can testing be scaled up without it seeming like, and I'm going to use the word hogged, without seeming like the NBA is hogging all the tests?
So I think that there's, you know, one general manager I spoke to said, you know, he thinks they should have done it already, because the NBA can buy 20,000 tests tomorrow. Like, that's available. You can buy them. But the optics of that are terrible, right? You want to be on the right side of history. So one general manager said, well, why don't we buy 20,000 and then buy 100,000 and donate them to, you know, people in our communities, right? Like, why wouldn't that work? Yeah, I mean, you could make that argument, right? Like, you buy five times more than you need, and you give the rest to the first responders and to people. I think that's a pathway, right? Like, that's a good idea. But my, you know, in a lot of conversations that the league is having with players, and Adam Silver just spoke to the players on a big joint conference call. He essentially said, you know, look, within the next month or two, the testing is going to ramp up. That's going to be less of an issue. And so they think that that time is on their side. That's a player who was on the call texted me that Adam said, time is on our side. They can take all of May, even into June, before they have to make a decision, and they see where testing is. And I think that is the way back. So, I mean, look, let's just play this out, guys. Let's just like do the, okay, let's say in May, if testing starts to ramp up. Cause what I've noticed is when things start to break, like when things, like when you see LA is said to the Lakers and the Clippers, yeah, we have enough tests, you guys can go ahead and do it. That escalates from two teams to 30 teams real fast, right? It's very rare that like you would have, you know, one team be able to do it, but everybody else around the country isn't able to. I think that's probably, we'll probably see that next week, right? Like just at the pace these things go. Okay, so we're now into the middle of May. Let's say by the end of May, we have a regular system of testing to where players that are overseas, like one note that I had in that story today, Luka Doncic, he flew home to Slovenia. Like he has to fly home. Jimmy Butler, he's in San Diego. He has to fly back to Miami. So when you do that, as soon as you get back into whatever market you're playing in, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Well, if you have rapid testing, then maybe you wouldn't have to do that. And so all of these things can speed up the timeline, can get us to a place where I think we're going to have better decisions and better ideas of what's going to happen sometime in June. I think that's what we're looking at, about when we'll know and have a better idea of like where we're going with this.
Do you have an idea of what their drop dead date is?
I don't think there is a drop dead date. I think the folks that I've talked to, Mace, have said we can go as long as we need. I mean, they can be playing until Labor Day, and it's, you know, there's also scenarios where you sort of truncate the games you have left. Like, well, like let's not even finish the regular season, or let's have a play-in tournament. So that can change the timeline as well. But remember, as soon as they say, okay, we're going to escalate, you know, practice facility openings and into like, okay, we can have contact now, we can do all this. Like, as soon as that starts happening, figure 4 to 6 weeks until we can realistically be talking about a season, because players need to get to practice first. They need to ramp up. They need to get back in shape. You have a lot of guys who are totally out of shape. It's not safe to go back and play like that. You're just going to see a lot of injuries. So as soon as you see teams being able to have more organized practices, add on 4 to 6 weeks from there.
All right. Hey, Momo, thank you very much. Enjoy your backyard.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
You know, you guys were saying how this show sucked, right? You don't think you've been good.
Mason says it four times a week.
Improve the quality of your show? Did that,
you
like,
did.
Kick
Always.
Up?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
you did. Yeah,
Mason's the only one who thinks that, Ramona. He's bipolar, and at least half the shows every week suck.
Yeah, well, I think that's also why he's still good, because he has that edge and that drive to improve, right? Like, I think most of the stories that I write suck. Like, I go back, and I'm like, that wasn't very good. Very rarely do I write something that's like, yeah, That was a good one. Very nailed rare. It. Like one out of, yeah, nailed it. I would say like one out of 20 stories who I think are good. That's
oh,
a
by
sign
the way,
of a true, that's
Mace,
a good sign.
This is Mason Ramona told me this week he's thinking about taking up golf. If you take up golf, that's the best thing. You'll know that you suck. You have an actual score.
Oh, right.
To
there
tell
will be
you,
an actual scorecard showing me just how bad I am.
There you go.
I would, under
perfect.
No circumstances, take up golf. I hate golf. You are not patient. It's a whole
it is.
Of, like,
it's all
around.
The things. It's all yeah. the things that Mason like detests.
Yeah. Yep.
You, you'd be like four holes in, and you're like, "What? Why do people even like this sport?" I'm going four holes. I give you four holes. That's it.
All right. Hey, Momo. Have a great weekend.
Bye, guys.
All right. You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, and it's time for Fast Track. All right, time to coin flip here. Let's see. One side of the coin is the show sucks today. On the other side of the coin, you guys are right, and it's not that bad.
I am an optimist. Tails, the show has been excellent.
Tails, the show has been really good.
Oh, well, there good. I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Thanks for the lies. All right, Ireland, it's to you.
You got to start looking at the glass half full, man. Come on. All right. Andrew Goldberg is a Chicago collector trying to collect a ticket stub to every regular season game and playoff game that Michael Jordan played in as a member of the Bulls and Wizards.
Wow.
Goldberg keeps a spreadsheet of all 1,264 games and has already secured tickets to 870 of them. So okay. out of 1,264, he's got 870. His white whale remains a ticket to Jordan's NBA debut. October 26, 1984, a game at Chicago Stadium that drew only 13,913 fans. There was a security guard who sat a few rows from the floor for just $16.50. He saved his stub and sold it at auction in 2019 for $4,000. But not to Goldberg. Meanwhile, two higher-graded tickets printed at Chicago Stadium, as opposed to Ticketron outlets, have sold for $33,000 each. So in order to pull this off, this guy is going to need to spend a lot of money.
Wow.
So here's my question. Is Andrew Goldberg, if you have to pick one of these two descriptions, more fascinating and cool, or desperate and nuts? Which one, Mace? Fascinating and cool, or desperate and nuts?
So, have you ever heard the term completionist?
No.
Okay, so a completionist is somebody who it's a contest to try to get everything in one category, right? So it sounds like this guy is on this quest, and it sounds like money, frankly, just doesn't matter. And it's now in his head, and I respect the quest. I say, good for you. See if you can get it done. It's once-in-a-lifetime stuff. Be the one person on the planet to have achieved this. I get it.
Yeah, I think he's a little nuts, especially if he drops $33,000 for a used ticket stub. Like, I have no memorabilia in my house. Like, if
right.
you walked into my house, you would have no idea that I was a sportscaster. There are other sportscasters too. If you go to their house, you can tell right away. Like,
yes.
like that, it's their whole life. They've saved every pass, every ticket stub. I don't think less of them for that. It's just not me. I lived those memories. I don't need a ticket stub to tell me I was there. That's why I don't save any of that stuff. So I don't get this type of collecting. I don't get the people that that drop $150,000 on a game-worn uniform from Hank Aaron in 1974. I just, it's not my thing. So I think anybody that goes down, but I understand that there are people that's their life. There's a whole corner of the world that are collectors that believe in memorabilia. I know it's a huge business, and since so many things are out of business now, if this guy wants to chase this dream and he's be able to generate money and provide money for other people, more power to him. Go for it, man.
All right. Punch.
Fast Track.
All right. Arkansas is allowing live music to resume, and Travis McCready, the singer of the country rock band Bishop Gunn, will be performing what's billed as an intimate acoustic set with social distancing measures in place. As fans enter the venue, they'll be required to wear face masks and have their temperature taken at the door. Capacity for the 1,100-seat venue will be capped at 229. Masks will be available for purchase. There will be assigned seats for the show that will be at least 6 feet apart per grouping in what they call fan pods. There's a 10-person limit in all bathrooms. All soap and paper towel dispensers will be no-touch. Closure of urinals and toilets to maintain 6 feet of distance during use. And beverages will be prepackaged or have lids. John, would you like to see your favorite performer while jumping through all of these hoops? And by the way, how can it make any financial, fiscal success anyway?
Well, the last question you asked is probably the most relevant. But the first question, my answer is yes.
You would go through all that?
Sure, why not? I told you before.
Masks, sit-in pods.
Hey, bring Lindsay's. Lindsay, what'd you call that suit that you asked us about earlier in the week?
The fancy biohazard suit?
Yeah, give me the biohazard suit. I don't care. If I get to see Sting in front of 50 people and he wants to do it, but bring on the biohazard suit. Why do I care? I'll jump through hoops to do that stuff. Why not?
I don't think that we are going to see many replications of this particular thing. Do you?
I don't know if it's cost effective. I don't know.
I just don't know how you make money with 225 people in an 1,100-seat venue.
Well, and if this is the future, you know that the prices for those 225 seats are going to go up for the really good acts. In other words, like if Adele says, I'm bored, I want to do a live show, and there's only 225 seats, you know that people will pay $5,000-$10,000 to see Adele in that type of intimate setting.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's another thing, yeah.
So it's going to be a very lopsided, you know, the days of going to a concert for an affordable price may be done if this is the way they have to do it.
Yep. All right. Funch.
Fast track.
All right, Mace. Educators at all levels are learning how to teach Zoom classes.
Yes.
But for one Miami professor, he learned a lesson the hard way. John Penn Zhang was teaching his Zoom class when he shared his screen for a lecture he was giving. One of the students noticed that in the upper left-hand corner, Zhang had some bookmarks. One of the bookmarks was for a pornographic site called Busty College Girls FU blank blank.
Boy, yeah.
Some other students took a screenshot. It went viral, and now the professor is out of a job. Probably can't be a college professor if that's one of your bookmarks. Here's the question. Now that we're doing everything on a computer and online, are you taking any precautions to keep your browsing history private? Is that something we should all start worrying about?
Browsing history.
So in my case, I'm on a PC.
Yeah.
So I don't have when you have a lot of open windows, you have some tabs at the top of your screen that you can just easily access, right?
Yes.
I would need to go into the subject line and start to type it in order
for it to come up. So you only have one window open at any one time?
I can do multiple. I can change my look and have multiple windows. But right now, yes. Like right now I have my Outlook open because I write Fast Track in Outlook and then email it to myself. So it's in a cloud.
Right.
But there are no other tabs that you can read right now. The only tab that's open, it says at the top, John Ireland Outlook. So even if I had the pornographic page,
yeah, right,
like that this guy had somewhere in an open window, you wouldn't see it on my screen.
Yeah, I literally have 10 windows open right now.
I think this guy must have had a Mac. I think that's one thing. So if you were looking at a site that could be potentially embarrassing, there would be a way for others to see.
John,
it.
John, I look at nothing embarrassing.
Okay, so but because of that, are you doing anything to, like, have you been sharing your? Well, you don't even know how to get on a Zoom page.
I just figured out Zoom today.
Yeah, I can see like. I put the guys I play poker with on Saturday night. A couple of them have Zoom accounts, and they can share the screen and show us what they're looking at and what other people are looking at, and they can share my screen. Like, these guys really know how to maneuver in that world. I really don't, so I'm not doing anything. I'm just curious if anybody else is.
I am not doing anything. Well, do
it
you
cost this guy his job that he didn't do it?
Do you ever clear your browsing history?
I haven't in a while. Maybe I should.
You haven't
Why,
in
what's
a while?
In it that you need to clear?
I don't know. But I probably should, I guess, right? If I don't know what's, like, is it everything I've, like, how long does, I, you know what I have? I think I have a setting automatically that says clear browsing history once a month.
Oh, okay.
Should I change it to once a week? I guess.
Mine clears, I think mine clears once a week. I think mine
okay.
clears
I'll
once
change
a
it
week.
To once
a lot
a
of
week.
People will clear
Not
out
Not that I have anything
history.
To clear, but
exactly.
I'll clear
exactly.
once a week.
All
By
right,
the way, going back to this, the site this guy was looking at, this professor yep. was looking at, it's not illegal, it's very immoral, and it obviously is. If you're teaching students, you know, and
it's
you're looking
very
at,
unfortunate, that,
right?
That
but
this
it's
happened.
Not. Would he have a case for wrongful termination? He has the right to look at any site he wants, right?
Yeah, I mean it's a legal site.
Yeah.
But he did share or potentially share a site like that with his students without showing proper care in making sure that it wasn't there.
Right. I just wonder if they could fire him specifically for this or if they got to make something up. I don't know.
I think that's user error is what
yep,
that
there
is.
You go.
That's user there you error. Go. All right. More Fast Track coming up for you next. Bunch of sequences. Lindsay's got a question. 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track and Funch, it's
Fast
you.
Track.
Okay, guys. Soup Plantation, a popular buffet-style dining
yeah.
brand founded in San Diego 42 years ago, is closing all of its restaurants for good. The permanent closing of the 97 restaurants, including 44 in California alone, was just announced yesterday. Said CEO John Haywood, "All the restaurants face an enormous challenge right now. Our challenge is somewhat doubled by the fact that we are a salad bar and a buffet. My personal opinion is that until there is a vaccine, many things like a buffet and salad bars will have a very difficult time running and being viable. Now, well, us not knowing when we're getting out of this, you know, COVID stuff, is COVID the death of buffets and salad bars as we know it?"
Great question.
It absolutely is. I cannot imagine ever eating at a buffet, a Sunday brunch, one of those Vegas seafood things where you pick through the shrimps by hand. I cannot imagine ever eating at a buffet again.
I'm trying to think of, could you change the buffet and turn it into like a regular restaurant where you would have to order and have your plate served individually to you, or does that defeat the purpose of a place like
Well, that's not a buffet. Like Soup Plantation is you. I mean, you've been to a Soup Plantation, right?
Or, well, think about it, like how many restaurants have salad bars?
Oh, yeah.
This is the end of salad bars as we know them.
I think salad bars are over. Salad bars are a thing of the past, don't you?
Wow, it's a great question.
What about hotel lobby cookies?
Done. Can't have any community.
Done.
Community
like,
eating. Can't have a bowl
like
of M&M's.
Yeah.
Bowl of mints at the yeah. No,
well, what you could do
like
for
that.
The cookies, Lindsay, is you could have like a package of cookies at the front desk, and then like you watch the person from behind the counter with a glove on, you know, hand it to you with a pair of tonsils. You could find other ways to do that, but you can't put them all out on a tray and say take one. But
yes.
Hey, I just thought about something. Is this the end of Halloween?
No,
it's the end of loose candy. I mean, still people aren't still handing out loose candy, are they?
No, but you can't.
When I was a kid, somebody used to take a handful of candy corn and dump it in your bag. Like, I don't think that stuff can go on anymore.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think that's been going on for probably decades. That's just my guess. I don't think I've ever even seen that before.
I'm trying to think of a way.
Dumping loose candies into my bag. Yeah.
Could you have a buffet? Could you set up a buffet in a manner which would be COVID, for lack of a better term, COVID friendly? In other words, like you set out Like if you had the shrimp in individual package and then you go buy it.
Oh, yeah, you're going to individually package each shrimp. Yeah, that's a that one's
I don't think
work,
you can do it. I don't think you can do it.
I think buffets are over.
Fudge, I didn't. This is a good question. I never thought about that until now. It's the first time I've thought about it.
Man, I think buffets are over.
It's like a lot of businesses that like will have to change their whole business model or just done completely.
Mace, think about the media room at Staples Center.
Yeah, the popcorn.
But in general, when you go to get your meal, it is a buffet line style thing. Like you go by and take salad out of the bowl.
Right, it is.
Are they going to? Is this the end of media rooms?
Have to serve? Well, like at Dodger Stadium, they will serve your food. You don't.
But it's out of a community tray. You watch them serve it to you, but it's out of a big tray.
But if there's somebody with gloves that's actually serving the food, that's different than if you are the one that's going into the food and putting it on your plate, right?
Yeah, I think they're all going to have to switch to
that. Because then you're sharing
the
utensils and all that stuff. Like, so that would be the media room at Dodger Stadium, the press box, somebody puts the food on the plate. But at Laker games, at Staples Center, it's you go and put the stuff on your plate yourself, right?
Yep.
And I feel like we need to like talk to a chef or somebody that would be able to help us answer this question.
Well, it's a simple thing. You need to eliminate outside contact from other people. It could just be the chef has to put it right on your plate and no one else's. Mason's right. You got to do it the way they do it at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but Soup Plantation, hail fellow well met. I ate some really fattening meals.
How about this? Have you guys ever eaten in the Arena Club at Staples?
No.
That's all buffet style. Like you can go up and get.
Dodger Stadium, the fancy section downstairs.
Completely.
All buffet.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I never even thought about this. All that has to change.
Wow. Yeah, didn't think. I mean, Soup Plantation, I get. Vegas buffets, I get. But, right, we're talking about, like, sports venues where there's that big communal thing that's going on. Yeah, that's all going to change. Although it's a question of, like, are you willing to, right? So are you willing to keep things the way they are? John, would you go, like, let's say we walk into Staples Center and you grab your dinner like you normally would. Are you willing to do it that way still?
Yeah, but I don't think they can let me. I think it's going to be a liability issue on their end. I would,
But if there's no liability, you would share your utensils and all that stuff. You'd be okay.
Well, the utensils are clean.
No, but I'm saying like the tongs. Everybody uses the same tongs to grab their food.
Yeah, I think I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I would not. I'm out of that business. I'm getting out
I think
of that.
The solution is to have a person at every single station serving you.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. You're right,
you're
Lindsay.
Right.
That's the
You're 100% right.
Person with gloves.
But I'm telling you, when they clear the conditions, I have this vision of like not Lisa won't even go with me. They're going to say, "Okay, on June 1st, all restaurants open with social distancing," and Lisa's going to say, and you're, Mace, you're going to be the same way. You're going to say, I'm not going. I'm going to be able to get into any restaurant I want. I'm going to be able to go to Nobu on a same-day reservation.
And
it'll
you know
be
what
great.
I'm going to call you, John? My lab rat. You're going to be my lab rat.
I'm going to see how it goes for you. I'm in. Why not?
You're
support
the
local businesses. That's what
I
say.
You're the canary. I'm supporting local businesses. I'm just not sitting in the restaurant. You're the canary in the coal mine, man. You're the canary in the coal mine. All right, Lindsay.
Fast track.
All right, so Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk and his partner Grimes announced the birth of the couple's baby boy in a post on Twitter Tuesday. The newborn baby was named XAE-12 Musk, but like the AE is a symbol and not like the actual letters AE.
What are they going to call him?
It's got a weird pronunciation. Well, Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan's podcast this week, and he explained how to pronounce his newborn son's name.
How do you say the name?
Well,
is it a placeholder?
First of all, my partner is the one that actually mostly came up with the name. She's great at names. I mean, it's just X, the letter X, and then the AE is like pronounced Ash. yeah, and then A12 is my contribution.
Oh, why A12?
Archangel 12, the precursor to the SR-71. Coolest plane ever.
But still, I don't understand. Yeah. What do you call him?
So he's, I guess, according to what he said, it would be
X-A-12. A-12.
Musk.
That poor kid.
Yeah. And what's funny is...
A-12 Musk.
Yep.
So, yeah, he needs you know what that kid needs? He needs a nickname like Ziggy.
I think Ash maybe would probably
or
be
Ash
like
is
the,
fine.
Ash is a pretty good name. X is actually a pretty good name. Hey, X.
Yeah.
I know a couple girls that named Ashley, and everyone calls them Ash.
Yeah. Now, somebody says it may not be legal to name your kid this because it uses a symbol that doesn't actually exist in computer databases.
I point those people to Prince, one of the greatest musical minds of all time, who changed his name to a symbol.
Well, you're right, though, Mace, because like, I guess since it's not one of the 26 letters in the English alphabet, according to the California State Constitution, they're probably not going to be able to put that as his legal name on his birth certificate, because just like you can't have one of those, you know, like the dash, if your name's like Jose and you want to put like the dash on the E for pronunciation, like that's not even legal. So,
oh, you can't put the dash on the E.
No,
I didn't know.
I mean,
that.
I think that every state is different, but I know I was reading a story that said in California that it has to be one of the 26 alphabetical letters. So, he might have some issues with that. One thing that I thought that was really funny was Gwyneth Paltrow, who we were talking about yesterday, being a strange and eccentric
young baby apple
woman. Yeah, she saw the announcement and the baby's name and replied to an Instagram post by saying, hashtag Chris Martin, I think we got beat for most controversial baby name.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
and, you know, I think a lot of celebrities have really weird, I don't know if I want to call them weird, we'll say unique names for their children. And, I mean, I don't know if you guys want to play a game. I have a list of them.
Sure.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go over the list. I'll give you the kid's name. Yeah, and I want to see if you guys can guess who the parents are. So we'll just all three of you guys play, and you use your name as your buzzer if you think that you know it. And some of them are multiple weird names to a family, okay?
Okay, got it.
All right, so we'll start with Stormy.
John.
Yes.
That is the baby of Kylie Jenner.
Yep, Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott.
Never going to beat John on a Kardashian question.
All right, another one is Moon Unit.
John.
I think Mace got that one.
Yeah, Frank Zappa.
All right. So you guys each have one. What about Scout?
Mason.
Yes.
That is Ben Affleck.
John. Nope.
John.
It's Bruce Willis and Demi Moore.
Yep, you are right. They also have Rumor and Tallulah Bell, their other two children. Here is, I thought, I think
by the way,
Scott
twins. From To Kill a Mockingbird.
I think they're twins. Honor and Haven.
Oh, I know this. Honor and Haven. I'll take a shot, John.
Yes.
Is it Kim and Kanye?
Nope.
No.
Either of you guys want to take a guess?
Mason, I'll say Robert Redford and Joanne Woodward.
Nope.
First of all, Paul Newman was married to Joanne Woodward, not Robert Redford.
Sorry,
you dope.
I thought I'd take a shot. I was just taking a shot. So they didn't happen to be married.
Lindsay, who was it?
It was Jessica Alba and Cash Warren.
Oh, I should know that. I've met Cash. I should actually know that. Okay.
Should totally know that. All right, here's another one. Zuma.
Z-U-M-A?
Yep. Also has siblings named Kingston and Apollo.
John.
John?
I think it's Gwen Stefani.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, so you've got two. Mason's got one. Funch has none.
I got three.
You have three. That's right.
Oh, I didn't realize Funch is playing. I thought he...
Yeah, hey, Funch, you out there? You live?
Okay,
alive?
Here. Again.
You guys are really good at this game.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one. True.
Funch. Oh, John. Oh, Funch.
I heard Funch.
Is it the Carters?
Nope.
No, it's John.
John?
It's Tristan Thompson and Khloe Kardashian.
Yep, you are correct.
Never going to be John and a Kardashian.
Ugh.
All right, so we'll do one more here, and this
right,
one will
so
be worth four and a half?
It's got to be worth four and a half. Hey, Funches, you're about to get Curtis'd. Look alive.
All right, this one's going to be kind of tough, just to warn you guys.
Okay.
Billion.
Billion. Does Billion have any siblings?
I'm not sure, okay. But this is a relatively new baby.
Mason.
Yes, Mason?
Mr. and Mrs. Post Malone.
Nope.
He's
not married. He doesn't have kids. But that's a good guess.
Lindsay, just because he's not married doesn't mean he doesn't have kids.
Well, I said he's not married and doesn't have kids.
A billion. And that's all you're giving us, huh?
Yeah, it's the son of a rapper.
Oh. Well, that's a big hint.
Fudge, come on, man.
Is it Drake's son?
Nope. Nobody's guessing it?
I'm ahead, so I don't have to guess.
Mason, Lil Wayne.
No. All right.
Or Lil Wayne.
Rick Ross.
Rick Ross.
Okay. I can do one more. I got a couple more. We want to try and get
right.
a winner.
Nah, that's all right.
You called. Yeah. If you put 4.5 on one, you got to call
that's
it.
That's the end
all
of
right.
that.
All
right. All right. Good game, though. I liked the game.
I thought it was so-so. All right. More fast.
Well, this show, according to you, this show sucks.
Yeah. It's been a rough show. We had two guests flake on us in the first 20 minutes.
And your mom then wouldn't answer her phone.
Let me just ask you, has Jeff Passan called back yet?
I actually texted
him. Literally said, guys, I'll call you right back. And that was
and then he said, 3:05,
and we have never heard from him
I'll
again.
I'll call you guys back.
Promise.
And by the way, that was literally 5 minutes into the show.
Off to a great start. He's going to reschedule
right
for
back.
Monday.
Yeah, good.
Supposedly.
All right, more Fast Track coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
You know what, boys? Can I call you back? I actually have to grab this.
Oh, Jeff Passan.
Famous last words.
Has he called back yet? Do it. Just stop it.
Any minute now.
Any minute. We're expecting it.
Fast Track.
The quarantine has contributed to a surge in the demand for prescription tranquilizers and antidepressants and sleep aids in the U.S., according to a new research report. Largest spike has been for anti-anxiety drugs. From February 16th to March 15th, prescription for antidepressants rose 18%. Sleeping medications up 15%. Experts worry this analysis demonstrates the serious impact of the crisis on our national mental health. Does it surprise you how fast the demand jumped for these medications, and have you tried anything new?
I haven't tried anything new, but I'm going through my usual sleep issues. Have you changed your meds since this thing started?
I talked to my shrink. I had a Zoom meeting with my shrink. That's the one place a Zoom meeting did work this week. And I did change my meds slightly. And the one thing he said is, you got to show yourself some compassion. So if you pick up a couple of extra pounds here, if you need a particular medication in addition to what you normally take, you got to cut yourself some slack, because what we are living through is the single most unprecedented thing of our lifetimes. We've never seen anything like it. We will hopefully never see anything like it again. But this is a very weird time. And if you need to get from your, obviously, your medical provider, from your GP or from your psychiatrist or your shrink or whatever you like to call them, some sort of additional medication, don't feel bad about doing that. It's totally fine.
Yeah, and I think that mental health is more out in the open now than ever before. I have no problem with people that, that take medication for that. And I don't necessarily think your story, and nor do I think you intended it to be, is a negative one. I think that the fact that people take drugs to help, Meta World Peace has talked about this a lot. Who take
medications
drugs to help them deal with whatever conditions they have is fine by me. You do what you need to do.
Yeah, and by the way, and feel free to reach out to, there are all sorts of free resources. I know UCLA's got an extension phone system where you can reach out if you're having emotional issues, if you're having troubles right now. Feel free to reach out to any sorts of free helplines that exist right now. Just Google it. There are lots of places you can call, lots of people you can talk to, lots of appointments to be made, and do take advantage of that, because there's nothing to be ashamed of, especially now.
Funch.
Fast Track.
All right, Mesa. Las Vegas casinos are still closed, but they are starting to make moves that could lead to reopening. At the Venetian and the Palazzo, that includes the installation of thermal imaging cameras at every entrance and exit. Thermal cameras will be installed at every resort to check temperatures of both staff and guests. Those who have a temperature over 100.4 will undergo a secondary screening. If they still indicate a high fever, they will undergo further medical assessment and be directed to appropriate medical care. Now, two questions here. Will this affect your decision as to whether or not to go back into a casino? You and I like gambling, especially yep. poker. Would these cameras make you feel better about going back in?
Yeah, you know, sure. I it can't hurt anything, right? I mean, whether it's a temperature check or it's infra, what are they called?
Infrared
cameras, if they can check for temperatures. I don't see anything wrong with that. Okay, I don't find that to be an invasion of privacy or anything.
Yeah, neither do I. Here's the other question. Is this the new normal? Will we start to see these thermal cameras everywhere? And if so, would it be a smart time to buy stock in the companies that make thermal cameras? Like, are they going to be in supermarkets? Are they going to be at stadiums? Are they going to be in workplaces? Like, if you
They're
have
going
a big
to be in
office,
our work.
Yeah, are they going to be in the front? Like, when we walk into the building to go into ESPN LA, is there going to be eventually a thermal camera that zaps us when we walk in?
I guess, yeah. I guess it would be a growth industry. There are companies that do make them. I'm Googling them right now.
But I do not
give stock advice on the radio, but there are companies that do make this stuff.
But well, now here's I don't either, and God knows I'm no Jim Cramer. But wouldn't just looking at potential pitfalls if let's say we invested all of our personal fortunes in thermal camera stock, wouldn't a vaccine put us out of business almost overnight?
Yes, it would. And there's the downside.
Right. So it'd be risky. Even if every building in the world installs a thermal camera,
yep.
Your growth industry dies right away when they come up with a vaccine.
Yep,
so,
that's a very good
point.
But
still, you would ride the stock all the way to the top while they were putting them in. So
yep,
it'd be a hard decision. Right. Funch.
Fast track.
All right, let's play a game. This is a game of mystery voice. John and Lindsay, I'm trying to think. Have you ever won mystery voice?
I think I did once. I think
you did win. Okay, good.
Pretty sure I did.
John is. I want evidence.
John is generally very good at.
Well, I was gonna say if you're gonna be that adamant about it, then you know I'm not. Again, I'm pretty sure not 100%.
Lindsay, have you not noticed that Mason and I are ridiculously over the top competitive about everything? You could play a game of Tiddlywinks with us, and we would be arguing over who's better.
To the death. To the death.
Lindsay, remember this, and we both agree on this one point, and we never agree on anything. Every time you lose, a little piece of you dies.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Dies.
Right. So, Lindsay, this is Mystery Voice. I will play a voice, and you buzz in with your name and try to identify it, okay? Here is Mystery Voice number one.
Gravity silhouette remains.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
It's Yoda.
That is Yoda, yes.
Oh, Lindsay. I can't compete with Lindsay in Star Wars trivia. Come on,
Lindsay
man.
Is on the board, 1-0. Here is Mystery Voice number two.
Normally at this time of the year, meaning the spring, is a very relaxed time for me. It's the kind of the one time a year that I get off. Obviously,
I know this
you know,
is.
August until the end of the NFL season, I am, you know, I'm at the office
Lindsay.
Every day of the week.
I know who it is.
Need the answer. 3, 2, 1.
All right, let me hear the rest of it.
Normally at this time of
Wait,
year,
I know who it is. I know who
you
is.
Can't. You're dead.
Lindsay,
it's a
you
very
can. Now you're dead.
Time for me. It's the kind of the one time a year that I get off. Obviously, you know, August until the end of the
oh,
NFL
God,
season.
God, this is going to
drive me crazy. I'm at the office.
Oh, I got it.
Week.
It's our buddy Matthew
then
Berry.
Matthew Berry is correct, and it is 1-1. Lindsay, did you have it figured out the second time?
Yes, I did. I did.
All right. Here is, it's 1-1. Mystery voice number three.
It's important to know that my roots started unconditionally with no family.
John
I
got
beat
there
you.
First.
No way, I totally beat you.
What are you talking about?
Funch, that is second, second set of ears on it. I have John with it. What do you think?
I heard John.
Yep, okay. John.
That I'm not loud enough, apparently.
That's Shaq.
Shaq is correct, and John takes a 2-1 lead. Here is mystery voice number 4.
You're not going to see some things that you're used
Lindsay.
To.
Lindsay.
Like
Jeff Passan, can I call
Jeff
you back?
Jeff Passan is correct, yes.
And you should get an extra point for saying Jeff Passan, can I call you back?
That was excellent.
This is his new nickname. Can I
Lindsay,
call you back,
this
Jeff
is,
Passan?
This is for everything. This is as big
no
as
pressure.
It gets.
No pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Here is mystery voice number 5.
Work miracles in my life.
John.
John.
It's Kanye.
It is Kanye.
No clue.
How did you get to that so fast?
He must have gone to his church sessions on Zoom or something.
No, I know Kanye's voice because I think he's a hack. But I know what he sounds like. I know what he sounds like.
That is actually from one of his church gatherings that he's doing now.
I could tell with that magical music in the background. I'm bummed because I totally knew the Matthew Berry one.
Oh, that is.
I would have given it to you.
I feel so badly.
Hey, Lindsay, that's the difference between winning and losing. Just
right.
1 inch. And on this show, we fight for that inch.
You really know how to kick me when I'm down, you know?
We fight for that inch.
More
that's the difference between living and dying.
More Fast Track coming up next, 710 ESPN. And we're rolling on with Fast Track Ireland. It's to you.
All right, Mace. So, you know, it is Friday.
Yeah.
And you have already announced that the show sucks.
It has been a bad show. It's
okay.
Been rough.
So I know what you need. I know what
Jeff,
you're saying.
Jeff Passan to call?
No. Where is the Uber fax
oh,
today?
I was not even
well, today is your lucky
it's
day.
It's not my lucky day. It's
I have four fax.
Oh,
3 of these are actual
game.
Uber fax.
Never win this game.
And one I made up.
Oh,
see if you can identify. The
I
fake
love this
fact.
Game.
Okay.
This game is
now,
terrible.
Now, Bergman used to be very good at this game. All right, so the facts today, you'll both be, or all three of you will be happy to know. Funch, you can play. Lindsay, you can play. And Mason, you can play.
Now
the facts today are all very short.
Okay.
Okay? All right,
yep.
So here we go. Fact number 1. Katy Perry was kicked out of her high school choir because the teacher said she sounded like a goat.
Hmm.
Fact number 2, Johnny Depp and Queen Elizabeth are distant cousins. Fact number 3, Jackie Chan started his career by doing porn. And fact number 4, the whole month of May is International Masturbation Month.
Oh, Lord.
All right, so here they are again. Fact number 1, Katy Perry was kicked out of her high school choir because the teacher said she sounded like a goat. Fact number 2, Johnny Depp and Queen Elizabeth are distant cousins. Fact number 3, Jackie Chan started his career by doing porn. And fact number 4, the whole month of May is International Masturbation Month. Lindsay, which one of those is the fake fact?
I think it's either Johnny Depp being related to Queen Elizabeth, you said?
I did. Yes, Johnny Depp and Queen
Katy
Elizabeth.
Or Katy Perry. Because I feel like there's been like a ton of videos. Because there's this whole, long story short, there's a whole store conspiracy theory out there that Katy Perry is actually JonBenet Ramsey. So I've
what?
Seen a lot of videos of her when she was like
what?
A teenager.
That
and
sounds like an Uber fact.
That cannot be an actual conspiracy theory.
It is. It's a very look it up. Google it. It's definitely a conspiracy
okay.
theory. But anyway,
so, Lindsay,
there's a lot of videos of Katy Perry out there singing as like a teenager, and I think that she was a really good singer back then. And I don't think that's something that you just like turn into. So I'm going to guess that one.
You're guessing Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Okay, Funch.
I'm going to go with Katy Perry.
Okay. Mace.
I'm sorry. I think she does sound like a goat. and I believe the Johnny Depp and Queen Elizabeth one. I'm going to say the false one is Jackie Chan and porn.
Okay. You guys were all smart to stay away from the whole month of May is International Masturbation Month because that is 100% true. You are also smart to stay away because Johnny Depp excuse me, and Queen Elizabeth are cousins.
Okay.
Like first cousins?
Distant cousins.
Oh, okay.
Which means either both Lindsay and Funch are on the board in the Uberfax game, or Mason has a solo victory. And the winner is Lindsay and Funch. Katy Perry was not kicked out of her high school choir because the teacher said she sounded like a goat. That story, and Jackie Chan Mace did start his career by doing porn, so you're out. That story is about Shakira. Shakira was the one who was kicked out of her
Shakira
high school choir.
I can see Shakira sounding like a goat, totally.
She is goat-like.
And I originally wrote this question. Katy Perry was kicked out because she sounded like a sheep. But then Sliwa did his sheep thing, and so I changed it.
And famous conspiracy theorist Dave Johnson posted a 7-minute video on YouTube.
Oh, it's a wormhole you want to go down.
That claimed pop star Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey. That's an actual thing.
That's unbelievable. I've never heard that, and I love conspiracy theories.
But that's
true. I'm a big true crime person, obviously. I say it all the time. And, I mean, if you kind of look at, you know, if you look at, like, the age progression, I could totally see it. I could definitely see it. And that everything lines up as far as their age goes. And
Cannot see it. Choose not to believe it. All right. Coming up next. Oh, it's time, people. Oh. It's a sultry summer night. And rolling into the studio is the man of summer, Alan Sliwa. Crosstalk. Sliwa at Sunset. Next, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Friday night. Oh, man, what a better way to spend Friday night than with Alan Sliwa. But we do it in the right mood. It's Sliwa at Sunset.
Mace, what's tonight? What's tonight?
You open the ladies' line.
Damn right we do. It's ladies' night.
Ladies, you have a ladies' line, a specific line the ladies can call?
Yeah, 877-710-ESPN.
Yeah, and we want to hear from, in fact, let's just get started.
I put out actually my cell. I put out my cell.
Did you tweet? Did you put out your cell?
Yeah, I put it out, and they just called directly to me, and then I tell Jess and Curtis, kind of hold the lines for a second, I'm busy, and then we go from there.
Funch just pulled a Curtis today. He had a game where he had 0 points.
Has Curtis done that, like, a number of times to get the title of
No,
Curtis?
He's just the first one who ever did it.
Ah, got it.
The first time we ever remember anybody going 0 for 10 in a game was Curtis.
Yeah.
Which is pretty hard to do.
So, I don't know if you've heard this or not. And by the way, ladies' line is open, 877-710-ESPN for Sliwa, Mason, and Ireland. Last night, there was a moment. And, you know, sometimes, once in a while,
I don't remember.
You run into a moment on the radio where you say, God, that needs to be preserved. I need to say, that was just magic. And we had one of those moments last night with you, Alan. The schedules had just been announced. And remember, this is for NFL fans. This is like Christmas Day, right? The NFL schedules are announced. And you came in here in the most morose, serious-sounding way. You were so businesslike. You captured none of the joy of Christmas Day for NFL fans. None of the enthusiasm, the optimism, the excitement about the release of the NFL schedules. And so we said to you, Alan, you know, we have a tradition on the Mason and Ireland show. When we're excited, we growl. We growl, Alan.
Alan, I guess you were completely unaware of that.
No, I know the growl. It was thrown off just out of nowhere. So I didn't know where you guys were going, what you were doing. I never have any idea where you guys are going or what you're doing. Definitely when I'm on the show with you guys.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I was thrown off, and then, and then came with what I imagine you're about to play.
So, do we have sort of those magic moments? Because it doesn't happen very often that you get like, oh, let's play this back. This is so good.
Mace, when you ask, do you have it, are you not sure if they have it?
Not sure if this would have been preserved. I have no idea if this would have been kept. For me, it was magic. I'm not sure how the rest of the world felt about it. So I'm checking with Funch just to see. Funch, is that something that
we have the promo that has been playing all day.
Oh, there's been a promo. Well, clearly.
Funch, do you think it has anything to do with Mace saying, hey, there should be a promo right after it happened?
100%. 100%.
Okay. All right, just want to confirm.
Let's listen to the promo because I think it really tells the story.
Lee, you're not giving it to us, man.
Bring it. This is exciting. It only happens once a year.
Slee, how about a growl? How about a growl?
Growl.
Nobody's growling, okay?
No. Come on, Slee.
Oh, man.
Do it, Slee. Why do we act like fools and you won't? It's like you think you're above this. You think you're too.
That's exactly it.
School.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Come on, give us a growl. Give us some excitement, some enthusiasm. Do it.
Like a wrestling growl, Slee.
Do it.
Lindsay, what's happening right now?
Do it.
Lindsay, what's happening?
They're just trying to awake the beast from within, you know?
Funch, give us a growl. There you go.
That sounded like a burp.
Listen, if Funch is in, I'm in. That was actually better.
You sound like indigestion.
That was better than I thought. That was better than I thought it was.
No, it was worse than I remembered.
Yeah, it does sound awfully sheep-like.
Oh, Slee, it is. It's like a sheep. You're like a sheep.
I want to circle back. I want to circle back to the ladies' line that's going to be open tonight on your show.
Oh yeah, 877-710 ESPN.
Alan, what are you looking for in a lady? What if we were filling out a profile like a Match.com profile?
What would
you be looking for?
Geez, here we go. What would we be looking for?
Let me just open Match.com and we'll make an.
Mace, here's the thing.
John, do you wanted to make a
100%, 110%.
Here's the thing.
Profile.
Even if I'm with somebody, I just probably wouldn't share it with you. That's the only thing, Mace.
Why?
Well, that's a mistake. We talk about everything on this show.
We're friends from 6 to 6:30. Why wouldn't you share that with me?
No, we're friends from 5:55 to 6:24, and then you're out the door after that.
Actually, you're right.
That's 100% accurate. And you take out the commercials, it's even less.
Yeah. It is less.
But, Alan, see, people say to us all the time, how in the hell have you guys stayed on the air for as long as you have? Mm-hmm. And it's because we talk about everything, anything and everything. You know, Mason came out on the air. I mean, come on, man. You can fill out a Match.com profile. That's not the biggest thing in the world.
You guys are vets in the game, and I'm just kind of figuring it out as I go.
Exactly. We're trying to lead you. We're trying to mentor you into success.
Mentoring, yes.
Are you on Match.com, Alan? Are you on Match.com?
You know, I've never done a dating website.
Never.
You haven't done, like, Bumble?
No.
How about Tinder?
None of those.
You ever gone on Tinder?
No, none of those.
You sound like you lead a very solitary life.
I think you just have a picture that you've drawn, and that's the picture you're going with.
Well, what other people have you spoken to in person today? I mean, come on.
Yeah. By the way, thanks a lot for making me motion sick while we were doing our Zoom meeting today.
Yeah, that was ridiculously inappropriate behavior by you, Slee.
You know what I thought?
You're out there trying to, what?
I thought if you hit mute and it doesn't pick up any conversation or anything, then you're not on the video. Because I was looking at myself on the video. I'm like, Jesus, this camera is all over the place. I had no idea that I was on video.
Still got the video. The entire time, got the video. Just you walking along.
It took you a sec, Mace. It took you a second to figure out what's going on there.
Where were you going?
I was in Pasadena. You guys ever been? Actually, San Marino area.
Have we ever been to Pasadena? Yes.
No.
Of course
no.
We have.
Lacey Park. You ever been to Lacey Park?
No, never.
That's a great park. Great park there.
Mm-hmm. Good park. No, here's the thing, though, Slee. We don't. When was the last time we had a staff meeting?
I've never been in a staff meeting with you guys.
Okay. So this, let's call this the first ever staff meeting. Mm-hmm. All right. So first ever staff meeting. You decide you're going to go for a walk during it.
Yes.
Here right. we all are. We all get dressed up and we sit in front of our computers. And here's Alan. You're not even willing to sit down for the first staff meeting. It's like, yeah, I'm multitasking. I'm walking here.
Mace, you were definitely dressed up. I think you had a suit on, if I'm right. And Mace, what time did you come on? You didn't know how to do it.
I didn't. My tech team didn't have them things together yet. I have a tech team. That's why it sometimes takes
you're a little technically
longer.
Illiterate, is what you are.
I have a tech team.
John, you look like you were just getting off the golf course. Is that accurate,
John,
by the way?
John, you were driving.
I was. I was driving Orange County, and I did make a golf-related stop at some point today. I did not play golf today, but I made a golf-related stop.
I thought it was a productive meeting. I thought it was a very productive meeting.
It's going to be weird, by the way. When we do go back, it's going to be – now it's actually going to be weird going back to the studio where it's now normal to be doing the broadcast from home.
It's going to be a weird transition. Yeah, it is. And by the way, that was the most encouraging thing from the meeting is like, there's a time when we are going to get to go back to work. I'm not going to be sitting in my kitchen, and Ireland's not going to be sitting in his TV room, and Alan's not going to be sitting in his, one room, bachelor's pad.
Yes. By himself with no friends and no pets.
Look, I just, cause I don't have the money Ireland and Mason has. Just give me a second, guys. We're just getting started here. Can I have some time?
Well, how much time do you need?
You've got till 6:24. How was the big schedule release party last night?
Kirk is great, man. I love doing shows with Kirk. It was great. It's great too because this guy goes through as if, you know, he takes it back to when he was a player and everything he used to look for when schedules were coming out, when the bye is going to be, all right, who are we starting the season up? He looks at the first game and the last game as his, like, first benchmarks. He looks at the bye week. Then he starts looking at what the travel is going to look like, Thanksgiving and Christmas, how that plays out. It's great to get his perspective.
Well, and that, some of that stuff is really significant. Like, when J.B. Long was on with us, he pointed out that there's a game where the Patriots are going to be playing the Chargers in SoFi, and then the Rams are going to be on a road game in Arizona and then come back, and those two teams meet
Thursday night game. Yeah.
And JB made the point that, you know, normally you would think the Patriots are going to have to fly all the way across the country. They're going to be sitting in a hotel room in L.A., and they're going to be actually more comfortable than the Rams are on that Sunday. All that stuff matters. The stuff that Morrison notices matters, like what your travel schedule is and who you are. Although, what do you guys think about this? Home field in the NFL is generally considered to be worth 3 points, like in a point spread.
Yes.
If you have no fans, should that number come down?
Well, because part of it is like you're sleeping in your own bed, you're at home, you're in your own facilities, all that stuff. So that also factors into home field. But, yeah, I mean, especially some places like, you know, at Seattle. Seattle's not the same team without its home crowd at home. I mean, they get a huge charge out of that. There are some teams with huge home field advantages. New England is a team with a great home field advantage, where there are just football crazy people. I don't think home field is going to be as important as it has been in the past.
It's got to come down, definitely. I mean, look at the NBA too, John. Some of those games at Milwaukee, how tough was that for the Lakers, and the difference when you're playing here at Staples Center? I know it's not like that for every arena, but man, there's some fan bases out there that definitely has a significant impact for the Chargers. It's going to be the same. It's going to be an advantage for them.
No, Chargers are there playing. An advantage for the Chargers. Yeah.
That's all of a sudden they're actually the points go up for them.
See, I look at the Rams schedule, and the one thing I see is those first 8 weeks, you're home to Dallas. Then you go back east, and you're going to stay back east for Philly and Buffalo. Then you come home, and you face the Giants. Then you fly back across the country, you face Washington. Then you fly to San Francisco to face the Niners. Then you're home to the Bears. And then you fly back to Miami. So you've got three cross-country flights in the first 8 weeks. But if you're a West Coast team, this is part of the deal, right? If you're a West Coast team, you're going to fly more than if you're the Baltimore Ravens, who I think fly 8,600 miles this year. As somebody said on the get-up this morning, they could drive that.
Demoff mentioned yesterday that he was glad at least some of those East Coast trips were early on. You know, obviously the Eagles, the Bills, they'll eventually have Washington. I think Redskins are week five, something along those lines. So at least they get some of those out of the way. But how about coming off that bye, too? Seattle, Tampa, San Francisco, Arizona, and New England. Those are your five games coming off of that bye.
Yeah. No, I mean, and then again, I don't care what schedule you look at. It looks tough, right? Everybody's schedule looks really tough. I was just looking at Tampa's schedule. Well, Tampa's schedule is tough. They got New Orleans twice. You know, they play in a really tough division. You don't look at anybody's schedule and say, oh, that's a cakewalk. Like, I haven't heard any team say that about their schedule. I haven't heard any fan base say that about their schedule. It looks really easy. No, it doesn't. It doesn't look easy. It looks hard. It looks like it's straight uphill. That's the NFL is so unbelievably balanced and competitive that I don't think anybody gets like a really easy schedule. Even if what's the weakest division? Is it the NFC? Is it the AFC East still?
Well, even the West. I know the Chiefs are obviously the best team in the NFL, but I don't know what happens after that. Raiders, Chargers, and Denver. I mean, I think they're fortunate there in that division specifically compared to. I mean, look at the Rams. How crazy is that? Rams, you can have 3-4 weeks in a row where you're taking on. You could lose any one of those games. There's no gimmies for the Rams.
Yeah, well, Lawrence Riddick, Lewis Riddick actually said that he thought that the Raiders could be a surprise team this year.
Kirk, by the way, guess how many games Kirk thinks Rams are winning this upcoming season? I think you guys did this yesterday.
He's going to say 9.
He had them going 10-6.
That's what I – oh, John originally had him at 10-6, then switched to 9.
Yeah, I just said – and here's why. I think that there is always a game you don't see coming. And you know, a game like last year was Tampa Bay. And you just don't see it coming. And so I think that I failed to account for that game. So I just lowered them from 10 to 9-7. And 9-7 would make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
10-6 obviously does. That's a wild card. I mean, they're going to the best case, I don't think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to be a wild card team. That's the way I view it. I'm sure that's the way Kurt has them too. Does 11-5 win that division? No, I think probably 12-4 or even 13-3 wins that division. Although they're going to beat each other up.
I was going to say, that's going to happen a lot.
The Niners and the Seahawks are going to beat each other up. Last year, I think the Niners were 13-3. The likelihood of them duplicating that, I guess the odds are pretty low. Yeah, that Tampa Bay game, that was a terrible game last year. It was a terrible game. Down 21-0 before I even got... I was down in the field because I was going to do the Whose House, Rams House thing. So I was down in the field. By the time I got to my seat, they only do it when you're winning. So the Rams were driving, turned the ball over. They called me when the Rams were driving and said, come down here, because if they score, we're going to have you do the Whose House, Rams House thing. So I run down to the end zone, and they turn the ball over. And they say, well, just wait here because it could turn around. And Tampa scores after a Jared Goff fumble. It's 7-0. They say, wait, because they could score again here. And all of a sudden, they're down 14-0. And I'm like, I'm going back to my seat. I'm obviously bad luck here. And by the time I get back to my seat, they're down 21-0. It was a ridiculous end of the ridiculous first quarter. Goff had a strip fumble and threw an interception in that first quarter, and they were down 21-0 in a blink. And then it was just a boat race from there. Goff ended up throwing for a lot of yards, but the loss was completely on him with those two turnovers. But I did ultimately get to do the Whose House, Rams House thing. That was a great. Seriously, that was a really fun thing to do. I hope they let me.
That's
do it
amazing.
We lost that game.
Mason, I have a ladies' night game. If you guys want to do that.
Oh, ladies!
Heck yeah! Let's break and do it when we come back.
All right, cool. That's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, along with Slew. 710 ESPN. Yep. What kind of setup is that for anybody? I'll tell you, it's a setup for Alan Sliwa. And Sliwa, don't you have something to read about now?
What a great setup. Thank you, Steve.
Yes, you're welcome.
Crosstalk on 710 powered by PowerPro and their cross-trade services, servicing plumbing plus heating and air. Great power specials right now, $99 drain cleaning or $59 AC tune-up, which includes a safety inspection and a temporary disinfect for your HVAC system. Make an appointment today. Call 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com.
So I got a question for you guys, and we'll get to your game too. John, who's the most famous person that ever thanked you on Twitter?
Probably Phil Jackson. We were talking once about Alex McKechnie, who you and I both really like, the great Alex
great
McKechnie.
Guy.
And I was talking about how he was a key part of the Lakers' three-peat years because he was the guy who fixed Shaq's torn abdomen muscle.
Yep.
You know, Alex was the guy who introduced the Lakers to core neutral. He had his own core company. And I made a big deal out of it on the air one day. And Phil Jackson was just being introduced to Twitter.
Yep.
And I don't know if it was he wrote the words thank you, but he wrote something along the lines of John Ireland is 100% right on ESPN right now talking about the value of Alex McKechnie. He's the guy who led us to he said something like thanks to John Ireland for mentioning Alex McKechnie. He deserves a lot of credit for our run. So it would be Phil.
Every once in a while, I got one that blew me away today. So I had Deepak Chopra on the Culture Pop podcast. We talked about
you were nervous about that.
Very nervous about it. Deepak tweeted me afterwards and tweeted out a link and said, grateful to Venice Mace Culture Pop podcast for sharing meditation, other tools to deal with anxiety during stressful times. Grateful to Venice Mace. I looked up Deepak Chopra, 3.2 million followers. I'm like, are you kidding me?
There you go. This is it. This is the tweet that puts the Venice Mace Culture Pop podcast on the map.
We are on the map. On the map. All right. So, Sliwa, you got a little game action?
Mace, maybe I can get some tips from Deepak from 555 to 624. I think that could probably help me there. Okay, let's do it. This is the theme of the game, okay?
Okay, got it.
What is tonight? We're all very well aware tonight is ladies' night.
Yep, ladies' night.
So a name that tune, all female artists, first one to
Ooh.
Three.
Okay.
To three, yeah. Okay.
First one
do
to
we
three.
We need the artist or the song?
Just the artist and you're good.
Just the artist. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Ready.
Funches, we'll get things started. Your
Wait,
your
do I
name
get to play or is this just
is your buzzer?
Wait a minute. Does Lindsay get to play?
Lindsay, you want in? You're in.
Okay.
I would like to play.
Good.
Okay,
you're
Lindsay
in. Let's
well.
Go.
Funches, go with the first one.
John.
Lindsay.
Mason.
John.
That is Alicia Keys.
I am so pissed off. I am always like right there and you always side with him.
Oh, Mace's reaction is the best. All right.
I thought Lindsay was ahead of Mace, but go ahead.
I was.
Funches, song number two.
Lindsay.
Mason.
Lindsay.
Lauryn Hill.
Okay. Did you know that, John?
I did, but I was nowhere.
Well,
I didn't even get it out of my head. You were going to guess Roberta Flack, weren't you, Mace?
I was
going to
guess Roberta Flack. Yeah, I was.
Yeah. No, but that was Lauryn Hill. Funch, that was the Lauryn Hill version, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That is what I guess.
Actually, it's a Fugees version, not Lauryn Hill.
Well, that is Lauryn Hill singing, though. That she,
yeah,
she can't. Yeah, she gets that. She gets the point for that.
Okay, here is The third one, along the theme of Ladies' Night. Go ahead, Funch.
Hey, Stu.
Damn.
I got
Mace.
I think Mace. It was Mace.
Chardin.
Who?
Chardin.
First of all, Sliwa, he's right. Just because you don't know who it is, Mason's right. And it's one to one.
It's Chardin, not Chardin. Chardin.
Well, Chardonnay.
Mason knows her so well, he calls her Chardin.
That's right. Okay. This is.
Are you going to have enough songs? It's one to one.
I was going to say this might be an issue. We'll keep going. I have. I think enough.
Well, wait
to get
a minute.
It
was is to two or to three.
It might have to be to two because
I have three. I have three more songs.
All right. Let's see if anybody gets to three. All right. Here we go.
Okay. Funches song number four.
Mace.
Lindsay.
Mace.
Don't know it.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Amy
go ahead,
Winehouse.
Lindsay. Amy Winehouse. Okay.
Oh, okay. I should have known that, too.
So Lindsay can win it if she gets one of the next two. Mason and I need to get both of the next two. Here we go.
Funches, song number five.
Mace.
John.
Lindsay.
Mason.
It is Like a Prayer, it's Madonna.
Okay, now what do we do here?
I'm out.
I was going to say, is it the final one for them?
Right. It is a two-person race between Mason and Lindsay, and whoever gets it wins it.
God, I need this. I need this so bad.
Okay,
Mace, a little piece of you could die.
Yes.
Get him, Lindsay. Get him.
Mason's reactions are amazing. Right,
Lindsay, he's insulted your show, the show you produced the entire day. You know you want to take him down.
Today.
Take him down, Lindsay.
This is for the win, 2-2. Lindsay Mason, hit it, Funches.
Lindsay.
Steve Mason.
Oh, come on.
Mariah Carey.
It was Mace, right?
Yeah, it was Mason. Mason got in. Yeah.
Yes!
Mace, that was talking about.
Hey, Lindsay,
you need to win more than I do. You needed to win more than I do, so I'm glad you got it.
Lindsay, until you met us, you didn't know there was such thing as a sore winner, did you?
Yes!
Mace, that was huge.
That was a big win for me. I don't normally win your games. Hey, by the way, have we heard from Jeff Passan yet? Do we have Jeff?
You know what, boys? Can I call you back? I actually have to grab it.
Yeah, right away.
What if he called right now? Would you guys tell him that it's 6:24?
Is it 6:24 right now?
6:24 on the dot.
Well, then what the hell are we doing here? We're not being paid to do this show overtime. Get with it. What do you got coming up, Sliwa?
How about Ben Lyons from 7 to 8? Little co-hosting action with Ben Lyons. Good. Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times will come on at 7:30, and Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation at 8:30.
Who's right, in the cool. can?
Nothing.
Nothing in the can.
I'm sorry. No, this is all this is all live.
All right. Uncanned. Sliwa. We're back tomorrow. Let's skip tomorrow and Sunday.
Let's do Monday.
On Monday. Yeah, let's make an appointment. Monday, 2:55. 7:10 ESPN.